gotta play.
A few Sundays ago, last time I preached a topic that had maybe some potential to upset some people, but most of the feedback I got was overwhelmingly positive, so I thought, let's try it again. Here we go. We're going to talk about justice this morning. And part of what piqued my interest to talk about this comes from the text that Michael read. I think the NIRSV says to act with justice. Micah chapter 6:8 in the ESV, it says to do justice. The context of that verse and that whole book, and we'll talk a little bit more about the prophets a little bit later, but the whole context is Israel has gone off into captivity, and they're trying to do different things and appeal to God and say, why are we here? How did this happen? As if God hadn't been telling them for a while what to do. And every time the prophets come back and tell them, you done messed up, Aaron. And he points to this passage, and he constantly comes back to this idea of there's two things that Israel messed up during that time period the most. One, we talk about a lot, and that's idolatry. But the second that we don't talk about as much is the justice part of it. And so Micah, when he's talking to the people, says, God's told you what you need to do. He gives them three things. He tells them to walk humbly before God, to do mercy, but to do justice. When we think of the word justice, whether it's thinking about our country in the past handful of years or just in general, when we think of justice, it's almost like this institution. We call it the justice system in our nation. And for many in this church that have stood by the Fowlers for a few years, we've got to see part of what we call the justice system. But very rarely when the Bible talks about justice, is that actually what it's referring to. There is some talk of institutional justice, but that's normally not what it's talking about. When we think about justice, maybe we think about making things fair. The definition that was kind of given to me early at some point was about justice, mercy, and grace. Justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. And grace is actually getting something you didn't deserve. The analogy was, if I'm driving 80 miles an hour in a 50 mile per hour speed zone, and I get pulled over and I get a ticket, or if I'm going that fast, arrested, justice is I get what I deserve. I get a ticket or I go to jail. Mercy would be the officer not giving me a ticket, and grace would be him giving me $300 and sending me on my way, giving me something that I didn't deserve at all to begin with. And so those are our three definitions that we get, and while not inaccurate, they are painfully inadequate. Very understated. So this morning, I kind of want to ask the question, what is justice? What does that word biblically actually mean? The Hebrew word that's used there is pronounced mishpat, and if you can read Hebrew, there it is. I can't, so I put it up there anyways. But the definition really means righting wrongs and lifting the vulnerable. I found a definition. I don't normally read to you guys, but I found a definition that I really liked, and I wanted to read it. It says, justice is about treating people as they are made in the image of God, but also working to set things right when that image is dishonored. So it's not just about trying to treat people well. I'm hoping we're all doing that. We're all made in the image of God. But it's this idea of that when we see people who aren't being treated that way, whether it's our fault or not, it's when we see people who aren't being treated, who are being taken advantage of, we actively set out and find a way to make that right. That's justice. And so Micah 6:8, as was read, calls on people to do justice. This isn't something that we just hope the justice system does, or we just say, God will make it all right one day. Both those things are important and are a reality. But if we just stop there, we're woefully short of what the Bible calls justice. So that's what I want to talk about and spend some time on this morning. What does it mean to do justice? The first place we're going to look is Psalm 146. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be doing a decent bit of flipping around it this morning. But the first part is found in Psalm 146. Psalm 146, beginning at verse number 5. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. Notice how the way of the wicked is contrasted with everything else that God is doing in this passage. As the psalmist is telling us about God and who he is, he's saying this is part of God's very nature. A characteristic, we would say, of God is that he is just. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4 tells us that God is just and upright. So if for no other reason, justice should be a part of who we are as followers of God, because justice is central to who God is. Treating everyone with fairness and being concerned when people aren't treated with fairness is central to who God is. So that has to be central to who we are. It's not just what he does, not just who he is, but it's what he's trying to accomplish in the world. Turn to Genesis chapter 18. All the way back at the beginning of God's people, when God calls Abraham, he states that justice is a part of what he is doing with Abraham. The story takes place after the angels have come to Abraham, told him he's going to have a kid, told them, and he's about to talk about what's going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah. But between those two stories, God has a conversation with God, the angel of the Lord. That's a long rabbit hole that I like to get into some other time. But God is having this conversation that's recorded for us to see and hear what he says. So beginning at verse number 17 of Genesis 18. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed in him. For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice." Here's the reason why. "So that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he promised him." And what did he promise him? Chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. "That he would make him a great nation, and that every other nation would be blessed through Abraham's offspring." How is this going to happen? Verse number 19. Through justice, through righteousness, through justice. That's how God is going to save the whole world. That's how he's going to bless the whole world. And then flash forward to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4, when Moses is giving Israel their final marching orders, as it were, before they go into the promised land that he is not allowed to go into. Deuteronomy is a collection of, I think, five sermons of his to Israel. It's a retelling of the law, but he's really like, "I know you guys are terrible at this, so please keep these things when you're out of my sight." But Deuteronomy chapter 4, we're going to begin at verse number 5 as he's talking to them. "See, I have taught you statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, 'Surely this great nation is wise and understanding people. For what a great nation is there who has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all the law that I set before you today?'" This is how they're going to impact the nations around them, is keeping God's laws, is doing righteousness, is doing justice. Not just some system that takes care of it for them, but them as a people are going to be so just and so righteous that the other nations will look and go, I want to be a part of that. I want to follow the God they're following. I want to follow whatever it is has given them these great set of rules that they treat people like they should. I want to be a part of that. And God says, that's how people are going to know me, is by the justice and the righteousness that you guys practice. So doing justice becomes this theme throughout Israel's history that they are called to do, but it's not always done well. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs, the king in Proverbs gives us this beautiful little bit about what it means to actually do justice, to what it looks like to live it out, and what all of Israel should be doing. Proverbs 31, look at verse 8 and 9. This becomes a practical example of what it means to do justice yourself. 31, 8 and 9. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and defend the rights of the poor and the needy. That's what justice is. It's being the voice of the voiceless. It's being an advocate for those who have none. That's what Proverbs tells us that justice is. Open your mouth for those who can't. And so Israel was called to be a nation that does this well, that does this for all the people. God expects His followers to do these things. But if you were to read all through what we call the prophets, from the books that follow this all the way to the end of the Old Testament, two themes, as I said, emerge. Israel is terrible at being faithful to just God, and they're terrible at treating the poor well. I think they're called, there was a name for them, but I just kind of referred to them as the big four. The four that come up over and over again in the Old Testament that the people are called to practice justice on are the widows, the orphans, the poor, and the sojourners. Sometimes, actually often, people fell into multiple of those categories. It's like a big Venn diagram of four circles. But people fell in one, if not multiple, categories. And those are people in society, in that time, struggled. Things were set against them. It was difficult, not by any fault of their own or really any one individual's, but things were going to be a struggle. If you didn't have parents, that's kind of a universal thing. You're going to struggle. If you don't have a husband, we thankfully live in a society where there are things like welfare programs that can, at times, help those who are struggling. But even then, it still becomes a struggle for some people. So these four people, and in fact, if you look throughout all of history and you look through all societies, you'll find that these four are present all the time. And they always struggle. And God's people are called to look at them and say, how do we fix this? How do we advocate for them? Again, not trying to say that the people who did it need to fix it. Hopefully they have a hand in it. But we are called as God's people to look and go, I didn't do that. How can I fix it? I didn't do that. How can I help? How can I work to make sure that people who aren't being treated fairly are? That's all justice is. So it's not just this concept that the court should take care of or God should take care of. It's a responsibility God gave to all of His people. And throughout the Old Testament, God takes it very seriously when they fail at these things. The first one, Jeremiah chapter 22. All the prophets that we're going to read this morning either prophesied as Israel was going off into captivity or once they were already there. Jeremiah chapter 22 takes place in that moment of they can see their captors coming. They know it's coming. They know they failed. God has said it's going to happen, but they're still trying to cope with the reality of it coming. Jeremiah chapter 22, beginning at verse number 1. Thus says the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah and speak there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, who sits on the throne of David, you and your servants and your people who enter these gates. Thus says the Lord, do justice and righteousness. and deliver from the hands of the oppressor him who has been robbed. And do no wrong or violence to the resident alien, the fatherless, the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place. For if you will indeed obey this word, then there shall enter the gates of this house kings who sit on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their servants and their people. But if you will not obey these words, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. Seeking justice for God's people is not an option. It's not an extra. It's not just something we can add on and go, it's optional, kind of like we treat the fruit of the Spirit sometimes. This isn't something that's just optional. God says, you are to do it, and when you fail to do it, it is a sin, the sin of omission, the sin of not doing something we're supposed to do. And so turn to the book of Zechariah to kind of see what the fallout from this becomes. Because, you know, we read from the book of Zechariah so often. But in Zechariah chapter 7, the Israelites have been in captivity, and they've been spending some months fasting and weeping and saying, oh God, this is so terrible. Please get us out of this situation. And they come to the prophet and they say, hey, we did it for 4 months. Did it work? Is God getting ready to rescue us? Should we do it a fifth month? Maybe that will help. Maybe another month of this prayer and fasting, God will deliver us. And Zechariah says to the people, where have you been? You've waited until we got into this situation, and now you're asking what we should do? Verse number 8, and the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the fatherless, the sojourner, or the poor, and let none of you devise evil against one another in your heart. Okay, just do those things. Do justice. Verse number 11. But they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears that they might not hear. They said, what should we do? And the prophet said, just do this. And they said, nah, I'm good. That's not what we want to do. And so as you keep reading, therefore God said, you didn't do this when I told you. And so now when you think about Solomon's temple and how beautiful it used to be, yeah, it's destroyed. My presence isn't there anymore. All of it's gone. Why? Because you couldn't follow the simple command of do justice. That's it. And because of that, your identity as who you are, God's presence dwelling in you, the thing that was supposed to be all the way back in Genesis that we read, what was supposed to be this great, as we would call it today, evangelistic tool to teach all the other nations about God is by doing justice. Not only have they failed, but when they're reminded to do it, they said, nah, that's not worth it. I don't want to do that. This is how important to God justice is. But it's not without hope for Israel. Look at Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah is, chapter-wise, the longest of the prophets, 66 chapters. And there's a whole lot of you done messed up time and time again to Israel. But kind of mixed in to all of those you've messed up is, but there is hope. God is not done with his story. And so in Isaiah chapter 11, there's a prophecy about a coming somebody who will bring justice, who will do justice and set things right. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. Israel is called to look forward to a king that will actually come and bring justice. They're at a point where they're being taken off into captivity, but Isaiah's like, yeah, you're here because of your own mess ups. But know that God is not done, and God has something to do. God is serious about justice. He's serious about it, whether it's other nations or whether it's his own people. God is serious about his people doing justice. When justice does not flow forth, God takes action. And so the surprising message of the Bible is God responds to all of this injustice with a gift, Jesus. And so as we flash forward to the New Testament and Jesus comes and he begins his ministry, the very first time that Jesus has something to say publicly according to Scripture is he talks about this very idea. Luke chapter 4. After Jesus has had his baptism and he's went off into the wilderness for his 40 days to do what Israel could not do and withstand the 40 temptation, the 40 years or days of temptation, he withstands it, does what Israel can't. Comes back and begins to teach. Finds himself in the synagogue and they've asked him to read. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 18, just so happens to be this passage from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Or in other words, the Lord has sent me to do justice. He has called me to set the captives free, do justice. Heal the blind, do justice. Set free those who are oppressed, do justice. This is what Jesus said, I am here to do. And not just in this, but look, flash forward a few chapters to Luke 14. And he's going to give a whole parable about this idea. But before he gets to the parable, he kind of sums up what he's going to teach in the parable, beginning at verse number 12. He also said to the man who had invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors for the sake of them inviting you in turn and you can be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the cripple, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. He says, go find those who need justice done to them. Find those who, through no fault of your own, have been pushed down in some way, shape, or form. Go actively find them and give them a hand up, even if it costs you something, even if it takes a sacrifice. Go find the oppressed and find a way to help them out. That's what Jesus not only did, but what he's calling his followers to do the same. And the question comes to us, are we doing justice? Or do we just talk about it? Are we actively walking about, finding a way to bring Jesus' justice as a reality here on earth? I believe that when Jesus returns, we won't have to do that anymore because justice will just be everywhere and that's how things will work. Not there yet. We long for that day. We pray for that day. We're not there yet. So in the meantime, it becomes our job to do justice. Are we doing justice? If you would, please pray with me. Our almost kind and loving and righteous Father, Lord, we are thankful for many things in this life. We know that you have given us commands, you have told us how you want us to live, and I am thankful that you didn't just let us figure it out on our own. You have given us your word, you have given us your community, you have given us the tools in which we can do what you've called us to do. It won't always be easy, it won't always be the path of least resistance. In fact, if it is, we're not doing it right. But I am thankful that your word points out what it means to carry out your justice. God, you are a God of justice. But you've made us also to be the hands and feet of your justice. Help us to have an eye that looks to see who the oppressed are. Give us the courage and the resources, as Jeremy talked about earlier, to be able to help those who are oppressed. Help us to look. Help us to see. Help us to look through your word and see what happens when we don't. Lord, help us to do justice as you have called your people to do time and time again. It's in your son's name I ask this prayer. Amen. Acts chapter 2, we find the church doing justice. After Jesus has left and the church is trying to figure out, or the disciples trying to figure out, what's the next steps forward, the Holy Spirit comes on them, they preach, there's all these baptisms, and almost like a footnote that we roll right over, the church has everything in common. They find people who are being oppressed, and they say, how do we help? Then we don't get very far until we see that they're doing so much helping that the apostles need to appoint what we normally call the first deacons to help distribute and help put justice out there, because there's so much justice that needs to be done, and the church wants to address it. And so they find ways to address the injustices of their world. We find the church continuing to do that even in Acts chapter 5. Normally the big takeaway from that is don't lie to the Holy Spirit. But they're still giving things to the church so the church can find ways to dispense justice to all the people. When Paul writes his letters to Timothy and Titus about how to church, he tells them, you got to find ways to take care of the oppressed. That's part of being the church, is doing justice. Are we doing justice? He talked about a little bit ago when I shared last week about the pregnancy center that gives all these free resources to people seeking them and wondering if I should have your baby. That's doing justice, is finding a way to serve, to help that organization. That's not just like, oh, that's what we should do. No, go do it. The QR code, go scan it, go volunteer. Find a way to support that. And that's just one avenue to do justice. We have our blessing box outside the building. Very simple way that we're trying to do justice. Find a way, because as Scripture shows us, when God's people don't, God has an answer for that as well, and it's not a good one. Practice justice. This morning, as we sing this song, maybe something that the prophets have said has pricked your heart, and you need to refocus your mind on seeing injustices and finding a way to help. As we sing this song, much to his chagrin, sit back down and pray. Pray to God to help you have eyes that see, that have a mind to help people, to bring about justice. Because injustices are everywhere. Doesn't take long. Look around. You'll find them. Find a way to lift people up. Because if we truly want to follow God, we have to, as Micah says, do justice. If you need anything else, take this opportunity as we stand and as we sing.